Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast. As you know, this program is dedicated to bringing to you the urgent messages and prophecies from the Mother of God, as they have come to us in our day through the late seer, Veronica of the Cross. Veronica was a wife and a mother of five from the New York area, who was designated to be Heaven's Messenger in these last times. During the years 1970 through 1995, the Virgin Mary and her son would appear to Veronica and deliver to her messages of great urgency. The apparitions occurred at rosary vigils that are held at the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York. During the vigils, Veronica would see the Blessed Mother and Jesus, who in turn would impart to her the message from heaven. Our Lady has said that we are now living in the last days just prior to Christ's second coming. The increasing floods, quakes, and elemental disturbances are just part of the overall plan of God to now cleanse the world and awaken man to the urgency of our times. It is the decadent and godless state of today's world that is leaving the Eternal Father with no other recourse but to intervene now with the heavy hand of divine justice. As we are told, a great chastisement will be set upon the world soon. 3/4 of the world's peoples will be annihilated. It is not a stern or an angry God who comes to us in the message, but one who can no longer stand by and watch the world in its present condition. As Our Lady has said, sin has now become an accepted way of life throughout our society. So in his goodness towards us, God is bending over backwards, as it were, and is giving us every opportunity to prepare ourselves for this coming time of trial. His intention, as always, is to save us. If there is one thing that really stands out in the Bayside message, it is our Lord's mercy and the manner in which he deals with us in such congenial, down-to-earth terms. In his mercy, he is extending this message to all mankind, as if to say, "Come, my children, I want you to be in fellowship with me, and I will be unto you a God, and you will be my people, and I will shield you from the Red Sea of communism that is fast closing in." You see, our Lord doesn't want anyone to perish in the chastisement. So in his mercy, he is giving every person on earth the chance to hear this message and to make their choice. Our Lady says that there isn't a sin or a number of sins that God won't forgive if we will just come to him with belief and be true, as a child would toward a parent. As Jesus said in the Gospel, "The truth will make you free," John 8:32, and the truth means a good confession made most especially before the priest. As the Bible says, God will require truth. And in the message, it seems that God in this respect is being more lenient than ever before. He knows our temptations. He knows the old devil today is doing everything in his power to suffocate any trace of truth from our lives. As the message says, even a grain of affection he will take at this point. If we would only open up and make a sincere turn toward the light, we will be received in heaven. In the message of September 28, 1979, Jesus gives us these beautiful words. I quote, "We do not seek to place fear in your heart, but to bring you a message of warning and counsel. My mother shall not reject you, even in your debasement. I shall not reject you, my children. The Eternal Father in the Spirit of Light shall not reject you. But will you reject us in heaven now?" Unquote. Indeed, God will never reject a repentant soul who confesses to him. Our confession is the very thing that draws his mercy. It's like music to his ears. And even though it's a little difficult or embarrassing to confess certain things, that's all part of the penance involved. And charity commands that we overcome ourselves and wrestle with this a bit, and that we not allow ourselves to be inhibited from saying the truth. Recently, our president, Michael Mangan, interviewed a lady on the sacred grounds who was a perfect example of what we are talking about today. This concerns the issue of abortion, which we understand is a very sensitive issue. So we would invite you to listen now to this interview.
Hello, David, and to all of our listeners in Radioland. And we are remembering our beloved seer tonight. This is the 5th anniversary vigil, a memorial vigil for Veronica Lucan, or as heaven has named her, Veronica of the Cross. And also it is the vigil of the transfiguration of our Lord as well. But it really has been a wonderful celebration weekend and remembering this holy woman, wife, mother, grandmother, and prophet, perhaps and undoubtedly one of the greatest prophets, as history will record it one day. And tonight we have over 300 people, over 300 pilgrims that are attending this beautiful vigil in memory of Veronica. And David, I have with me Jean and Renee Boissonnault from Lexington, Massachusetts. And good evening, ladies.
Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Michael.
And you've come a long way from Boston, and in fact, I see you regularly here, both of you, many, many times a year, and that's quite a haul, quite a trip from Boston. You're talking at least 500 miles round trip. And Jean, when were you first introduced to the Bayside Message?
Back in 1985, if I recall it. It was a small ad that I've seen in Boston Globe. It was a small picture of Veronica, and I instantly believed it, mainly because I had a good foundation growing up. I had good parents. We were brought up and saying the rosary every night.
So, as you mentioned, with that good foundation, you recognized the genuineness of this apparition through this ad that appeared in the Boston Globe. It struck you right away.
Absolutely. My faith was very strong on this issue. And I wanted to come down. I was a single parent at the time, and it was very difficult, but you make the sacrifice. And
you mentioned single parent. Of course, we should say for the record that Renee is your daughter. And how old were you in 1984, Renee, when your mother was introduced to Bayside?
5 years old.
5 years old, and you've been coming to Bayside
for almost 16 years.
Regularly, so you've been basically born and reared with the true Roman Catholic faith and with the true spirit of Bayside, which is the Roman Catholic faith and all the graces that you've received.
Yes, and I'm so happy with just being around and being brought up on the grounds has been a great inspiration.
Jean, let's get back to your story. You were introduced in 84. Now, where were you at spiritually? I mean, we know you had a good foundation. Where were you at spiritually? How has Our Lady of the Roses and the graces you've received at Bayside transformed your life or helped you?
I was in the light, but not really. I was sort of fading away. As you know, it's a very different lifestyle today. You're single, and you live freely, independently. And you want to do what you want to do. I never stopped going to church. But however, I...
But you did it your way, as Frank Sinatra said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, I didn't know him, though.
Well, and Eugene, I mean, that's quite common. There's many people that profess to be Catholics today. Obviously, this is the problem, one of the major problems in the church. They profess to be Catholic, but they don't live the authentic Catholic life. They're like cafeteria Catholics. They'll pick this and choose that, and they'll do what they want when they want. And I guess that's where you were at that time.
Right, Michael. You want to do your own thing? It's the matter of the real way is the traditional way, the foundation that your parent gave you as you were growing up. And you do lose your way along the way the world situation is today. And you do fall into sin, and you do things wrong. Everyone makes mistakes, but you can bounce back. And the only way you can bounce back is to come here on these grounds, to do your penance, your forgiveness, your prayers. Say something.
Well, you mentioned you're a single parent. You lost your way. What happened, Jean?
Oh, okay. Well,
And how has Our Lady of the Roses helped you deal with the mistakes that you've made in the past?
Well, the worst mistake that I have done in my own life was that I was going out with a Jewish young man at the time. And what has happened is I had an abortion, and it was against my will, against my moral standard, my moral belief. How could any Catholic strong faith person allow such things to happen? That's because you fall out of grace. It's a very difficult issue to discuss. It's been a long, long time. But it's time to speak up about it because it is wrong. And I came forward here on these grounds praying about it, receiving grace and asking for forgiveness, asking for a second chance. And I was giving a second chance, which is this wonderful young lady here.
Renee is that second chance and is that gift from God.
Oh, she's definitely really is. And I offered her to Blessed Lady, consecrated to her, and I asked St. Joseph, I can't do this alone. You've got to help me out. And he's been there for us ever since. It's been a long, rough road, up and down, but you have to bounce back. You have to come forward, and you have to ask for forgiveness, and you have to do your penance. Go ahead.
Who has helped you bounce back? How have you been able to cope with this? Because certainly in our apostolate and the many people that I've spoken to through the years in my work here, I have spoken with a few ladies that have been in a very similar predicament as yourself, Jean. And it is, as they have said, it's a very painful, it's very difficult for them to speak about, for them to even think about. It requires a lot of courage on their part. It's a healing process, and it's certainly traumatic. And yet it seems they all... In talking to you off air, there's that common denominator. They've been able to come to Bayside, and those graces received from Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers, have helped them tremendously in coping.
Absolutely. You said a mouthful, and I really appreciate your support.
And if I may add, I'm sorry, Jean, but not only coping, but healing. We know Our Lady has said in the Bayside message that God is a God of infinite mercy. He will forgive anything and anyone if they are repentant, if they're sorry. And that in itself is a wonderful consolation. And that sometimes requires grace, though, to believe that and to act upon it.
That's right, and that's what I have done. It's been a very long process. However, it took me 25 years, perhaps, to discuss the issue openly. But the thing is, you have to learn to forgive yourself first. And that's a very hard thing to do, because it is a very shameful thing to do. And there's a lot of women out there, millions of women out there, that are having abortion, and it's really, really wrong.
And they're haunted by it. As I've spoken with some women, they're haunted by it, for those who, and burdened by it. Are you liberated? Are you liberated from this feeling, from this sin?
Oh, okay, absolutely. I know that I have been forgiven. I know that I am free. But until I speak about it, even though I confessed it 25 years ago, it's still a burden.
It seems from talking with you off air, Jean, that there's been signs of that forgiveness. And you mentioned that you had a supernatural experience with the unborn.
Yes, I have. I couldn't understand it, you know. Ever since I've been coming to the ground, I have heard, you know, the choirs of angels singing here on these grounds. And most of the time it's Latin. You know, even though I'm French, you know, I really don't truly understand Latin, but it's close enough. What I'm saying is, for many years I kept hearing this singing, and I had no knowledge until this past year. I believe it was in May when I was in the car with my daughter, and finally, I love you, Mom. I love you, Mother. Mother, I love you.
So that is the Latin.
This was in English.
This was in English. You're hearing this while you're on the grounds. You're hearing a voice whispering in your ear that says, I love you, Mom.
Not only on the ground, Michael. It's been no matter when I have a difficult time, a difficult trial, and I couldn't understand. But I understood this past May when I heard it so loud and clear, as much as I'm hearing you. I love you, Mother, and I love you, Mother. I love you, dear. And it's so beautiful, very touching. And
where was that first time when that happened?
Oh, that was years ago, when we first started to come to Bayside. In 1985, when I started to come to the ground, I started to hear these singing, and I had no knowledge of what was going on. I wasn't really that educated because I was fade out a little bit, okay? But it took me a long, long time to understand who was singing to me.
I see. Isn't that interesting? Well, of course, beautiful. We know in Holy Scripture our Lord says that there's more joy in heaven over one repentant sinner than 99 righteous. And so, obviously, and they saw your good heart and goodwill, that you were trying to reconcile this. Renee, you told me off air that you actually named the baby.
Gabriel. Part of me believes that he's a little boy, and I always like the name Gabriel for a boy, so as a messenger. And in a way, because of what he's been doing lately, like whispering in our ear, I love you, and singing, I love you, Mom, he's like a little messenger.
This is affirmation from heaven that you are healed, you are forgiven, mistake was made, but the slate is wiped clean. And to move on. And what a wonderful, wonderful grace.
This past May, when I was sitting there and actually heard it so loud and clear as I'm hearing you, and I says, who are you spiritually? Who are you?
You heard what again? Loud.
I love you, Mother. And I says, who are you? I was so inspired, and she was not sitting with me. I said, are you a boy or a girl? And he had said that he was a boy. And I was inspired by that, and I told Renee about it, and she named him Gabriel, and it happened again and over again. And I'd say, who are you? Renee named you. And then he started singing, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Mom. I love you. It's such a beautiful singing choir, like, this is Gabriel, Gabriel. Even when I'm sitting at work in my computer, I can hear it. It's very rewarding.
So you have received closure on this, have you not now?
Oh, absolutely. The closure is now. I'm speaking to you. I have to come forward and be open about it.
And give glory to God and Our Lady of the Roses.
Absolutely, because I wouldn't have done without them here. Because there's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of shame. And once you hear it, the shame is gone. So this is why it's so important not to have the abortion. If if I had my way, I'd have an orphanage. And it would be totally Catholic with Catholic nuns. You know,
Well, Jean, you really obviously you learned your lesson well, and I know this has taken a lot of courage on your part to do this. But as we mentioned, this will be, I think, a story of inspiration for many of our listeners and for many devotees that hear this or know people in a similar predicament, that when they hear this, say, listen, this woman survived it. She was delivered. She has closure to this. It can be done, and especially through the graces received from Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. And you learned your lesson well, because the next time it happened, of course, you gave birth to your beautiful daughter, Renee, who is virtually a Bayside baby, has been coming here virtually all of her life. And a wonderful feeling, isn't it, Renee?
Yes, it's wonderful. I love them so dearly, and nothing means more to know that God and Our Lady loves you and gives you the inspiration to get through the hard times that we live in now. It's been really tough, but I turn to them if I have a problem. I turn to the Bible to ask questions. Or if I really need answers, I come down here, I ask for prayers, and there are times that I do get my answers, whether it be a couple months later, but I'm very patient about it, so.
And Renee, now it's quite obvious that you have a very, Renee and Jean, you have a wonderful relationship as mother and daughter. We've seen you regularly here, very, very close bond here, and that must be a great feeling for you, Renee.
Yes. I know not having a father can be sometimes difficult, but my mom's been there for me all my life, and we do have a great bond, and that's thanks to Our Lady and our Lord.
You mentioned it's been difficult. I mean, so many people who have not had a father, I mean, they become very angry and embittered, and yet you've made it very clear that you're not. And how have you been able to keep a steady course on this, or to be stable?
Knowing that I have our Lord as a father figure, I mean, what great gift can that be than to have our Creator as a father figure? And it's been wonderful with my mom and all you guys being around and very supportive. And
it's just amazing that what you can do when you receive graces and blessings from Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside through a good sacramental life. And if you use the prescription of the Catholic Church, as I mentioned, the sacraments, Holy Rosary, the sacramentals, that you can cope with anything. Not only cope with it, but be healed or rise above it. And whereas so many other people are burdened or oppressed by it, that using the means that the Church prescribes, in addition to coming to Bayside, receiving the graces, we become liberated. Our spirit soars. And I mean, I see this over and over again in interviewing all the good pilgrims. And once again, both of you are a wonderful witness to that. Well, Jean and Renee, wonderful story, wonderful testimonial. Any closing comments, Jean?
Yes, I would like for everyone to listen and to believe in these messages that I was given to St. Veronica of the Cross. Can you fix that? The messages are real, and they are really, truly.
So you've got more important of a father waiting up for you in heaven, looking down on you, and that's the best gift that you can ever receive. So that's it.
Well, thank you so much, Jean and Renee, and God bless you for your devotion, your dedication, and we'll certainly remember you in our prayers, and please remember us in yours as well. God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've just heard another tremendous testimonial of faith from the Sacred Grounds. This is yet another example of the grace of Our Lady working in the lives of her people. And as we have seen here, abortion is no small issue. It is something that we have to come to grips with should we have had the misfortune of being involved with this, even if this involvement was indirect. Because, as Our Lady says, abortion is murder, and as with any transgression, it needs to be acknowledged sincerely before we can come back to God's grace. There are those today who will find all sorts of reasons and excuses for having abortion, but these reasonings hold no water. The breaking of God's commandments never works, and the results will always be disastrous, not only in the afterlife, but even here at home, it will upset the order of things. Now, what would you make of a family situation where you have a man who is an irate alcoholic who eventually dies of syphilis, the mother is extremely weak and in poor health and is dying of tuberculosis, her first four children have died in their infancy due to birth defects and disorders, their living conditions are bleak, they live in an attic, in total poverty and misery, and on top of all this, there is a fifth child on the way. Now, what would be your decision in this situation concerning that child? Now, some might say that they should have the abortion and put the kid out of his misery. Why bring him into the world this way? Well, if that be the case, and that's how the mother behaved toward that child, the world would have had no Beethoven. Because the case just described was the case of Ludwig von Beethoven, who was perhaps the greatest composer that ever lived. He is the man accredited for having set music free. He was that fifth child on the way. So it goes to show that when we play God and we try to control the elements of life and death, we destroy a created gift, a soul who will never have that chance to sing forth the praises to his God. The latter-day blight of abortion is the great issue facing the world today. It is a tale of suffering, the story of man's inhumanity towards his brother. As the silent screams and the pleas for understanding continue even at this hour, increasing throughout the world. But in the midst of all this suffering, there is that joy of knowing that man has that recourse to return to the straight and narrow path that leads to life, for thereby we are liberated and set free. If you would like to receive more information on this soul-saving message, write to us, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361, or you can call our toll-free line, that's 1-800-345-MARY. Included with your information packet is a rose petal blessed by our Lord with the power of cure and conversion. We do invite you to visit our website at www.smwa.org. This will give you an opportunity to see what St. Michael's World Apostolate is all about. We do remind you that this program is dependent on your financial support, without which this show goes nowhere. So if you would like to see this program continue each week over the station, then send along your gift offering today, made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate. And again, we do remind you that your gift offering is tax deductible. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, Post Office Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join us again next week as we continue with this urgent message of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces in abundance.